You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Political Cesspool radio program. I'm your host, James Edwards. We are now connected with Keith Alexander via telephone. The strangest things can happen in live radio, and this is a new one. In 10 years of doing this show, or just over 9 years to be completely accurate, I don't think I've ever had this happen. Eddie the Bombardier Miller is supposed to be in the studio right now. He has not yet arrived. Cannot get a hold of him on his cell phone. Winston Smith, too, was scheduled to call in for the third hour, and he, too, has gone incognito. So we're connecting with Keith as he drives home to spell the relief pitchers, at least for one more inning. Keith, thank you for extended play tonight.
Well, thanks. Look, it's always good to be of help, and, the show must go on, as they say, and we'll do the best we can with what we got.
Keith, driving a car and hosting a radio program. You've heard of perhaps not being able to walk and chew bubble gum. Well, Keith is doing much better than that. Keith, obviously a lot's happened since you left the studio about 5 minutes ago. But anyway, as we wait to find out where our colleagues are, I was browsing the internet waiting for the show to resume for the third and final hour live. And apparently, I guess this guy's black. Maybe he's mixed Hispanic and black. His name is Matt Barnes, and he plays for the L.A. Clippers. And since he is non-white, he can certainly use the N-word with impunity. And he says he will not apologize for using the N-word. He defends its use in the context of today's society. So, too, has Charles Barkley. Charles Barkley, a commentator for the Inside the NBA program on TNT, which basically breaks down the games for each night, said that Matt Barnes should not apologize for saying the N-word, that white America tries to make blacks feel guilty for using the N-word when there's nothing at all wrong with the word. Yeah, that seems to be a little bit of a departure from the path that we so often hear. Certainly, Charles Barkley didn't believe there was nothing wrong with the word when Paula Deen used it once, 20 or 30 years ago when she was robbed at gunpoint by a black. Nothing wrong with the word. He says it. I've got the clip here. I watched it in the commercial break. It's going to go up on our website this week. Charles Barkley says he calls everybody that. White and black alike, he calls them the N-word. And it's just, there's nothing wrong with it.
Well, if there's nothing wrong with it, I guess it's all right if you and I or any other white person calls him the N-word. And, of course, he'd find a great deal wrong with that. It's just another example of the incredible double standard that white Gentiles permit to exist. Blacks, Hispanics, any other group of non-whites would never allow themselves to be the sole objects of any type of punitive or censorious sanctions, such as what would happen to any hapless white person in public life who happened to be caught using the N-word. We succumb to it. We live with it. We help enforce it. This is just another example of the white pathological altruism that is featured in the summer edition of the Occidental Quarterly, summer of 2013. We have got to stand up for ourselves. We are not, as we are charged with being, white supremacists. We are instead white egalitarians. We feel a need to claim equal rights for white people because in present-day America and in white-dominated societies everywhere, we are the low man or woman on the totem pole. We have less rights than any other group. We are not the beneficiaries of affirmative action. We are not allowed to say things that other people are allowed to say, like the N-word. We do not get jobs and promotions. Other people are handed out jobs and promotions that they don't deserve, while we are denied those jobs and promotions, even though we have better job performance or higher test scores. Any other group would be up in arms. They would say, no justice, no peace. I say, we need to take the same position. For example, I was going to tell you about the cocktail party I went to this evening. In this cocktail party, which was at the home of a socially elite person that I know, his daughter came in with her husband. These are two white kids that went to exclusive private schools. She is a priestess in the Episcopal Church. Her husband works for an NGO involved in trying to divert funds to promote educational opportunities, quote unquote, for non-whites, specifically black children in Memphis. And they came in with their own biological child and a black child they had adopted. Okay?
All right.
They are typical white liberals to the core. And they are white liberals because that's what pays. If you want to be promoted and to have a good career in many churches nowadays, including the Episcopal Church, you had best be an over-the-top liberal. That's what pays. Well, how do we counteract that phenomenon, the fact that some white person has found that being a race traitor pays, so they're a race traitor, they're all in with being with racial treason. Well, look at the institution that is supporting them and kill it, okay? You don't have to kill it with violence. You kill it with apathy. There was a guy named Thomas Reeves that wrote a book about the liberalism inherent in Protestant churches today called The Empty Church. He wrote his book back in the 90s, and he said, the only sound a liberal truly fears is the sound of a closing purse.
Right.
If you want to kill the Episcopal Church or the Southern Baptist Church or any other group that has succumbed to liberalism, if you want, basically, you're not killing that church, you're killing liberalism, because that place has become a haven for leftists. You know, I wouldn't worry about burning, you know, about, you know, ending a church that, or a denomination that has become a haven for anti-Christians. And liberals are essentially anti-Christians. How do you do it? You don't attend the church. You don't give them tithes and offerings. You, just like we have turned our back on the educational establishment with homeschooling, we need to turn our back on the religious establishment with home churching. You're going to have to get like-minded Christians who know the Bible and start worshiping with them just like the early Christians did in the catacombs of Rome. That's what we're going to have to do. We're going to have to stop supporting our racial enemies with our tithes and offerings, James.
Keith, thank you for coming on for that extended segment and for offering just off-the-cuff commentary that was brilliant. Eddie the Bombardier Miller has flown into the studio. He has arrived. Winston's still in the wind, but Eddie is here. He has a little bit of trouble with the landing gear, but we got it all worked out on his B-52. Thank you, Keith. Talk to you next week, brother, and we're going to switch over and switch gears to Eddie the Bombardier Miller right after this. Say,
we fought. We learned. We struggled. We won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages, American Heritage School in American Fork.
Ladies and gentlemen of our Liberty Roundtable audience, we invite you to consider joining us. We use the services of George Costello and Utah Document Solutions. They are your authorized Xerox sales agent. We've been experiencing great service, pricing, and results, and we've gotten to know George and his team at Utah Document Solutions, your authorized Xerox sales agent. We were facing a huge increase from our former supplier, and we've been pleased to enjoy great service and an even lower cost of our documents. We recommend that you check with George to see if he can save you money like he has for us. Call George at 801-216-4816. He is your authorized Xerox sales agent. The number again, 801-216-4816.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
All right, everybody. Eddie the Bombardier Miller has arrived. For the first time ever, he was late. Winston Smith still hadn't called in. So, I mean, what are the odds of two co-hosts? It's like flying in an airplane and both pilots having a heart attack. But Eddie the Bombardier Miller has flown into the studio. Winston's still AWOL. We'll have to get an assessment of what's going on over there. But wasn't half bad by Keith off the cuff, was it? Eddie has a very poor excuse. He ran 22 miles today and then fell asleep. I mean, he's 66 years old and only ran 22 miles. But training for this marathon, of course, we've been talking about that the last few weeks, 26-mile St. Jude Marathon coming up the first week of December, so just a few days away. So we certainly understand, and we'll give Eddie a pass for being really only about 5 minutes late after 22 miles today. Eddie, great to have you here in the studio. Now, you know, there's something – I think it was good that you were late, because when I saw you walk in, for whatever reason, something that I had, that you and I had both had intended to talk about on this show, I don't know, maybe a month or two ago now, and the show always is so busy and there's so much to cover, you never have enough time in commercial radio, but it just hit me when I saw you walk in late that I wanted to talk about it, and I wanted to revisit a story that we had made an intent to share. And had never done it. Your ministry, we've talked about your ministry before, but when you went to a certain location that members of your own family and church said you would not go. Right. You remember what I'm talking about? This is an interesting story, folks. This is a very interesting story. This represents the kind of... you know, so many Christians today, and this is a Christian show. You go to our statement of principles, number one on the list is we put our faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Everything else follows that. But Christianity has just become a watered-down shell of itself in the mega churches and in the more prominent churches of any given denomination. They've trimmed their cells to a great extent to appease the false gods of political correctness. Christians basically minister to one another now in their fellowship halls while they're eating. True. They won't go out and let the truth be told in the faces of those who really need a stark lesson. Eddie, I've said enough. Go back to the very beginning, break down this story, and share it. This is a pretty cool one.
Okay. Well, you know, going back probably 5 or 6 weeks ago, James is referring to, we have a place here in Memphis down in Midtown where it's like Haight-Ashbury back in the 60s. And it's where all your hippies, all your druggies, your atheists, your Marxists, the little, you know, these Marxist liberals running around down there, they really and truly want a Marxist government. Well, naturally, there's a lot of homosexuals down there. Matter of fact, they have the gay, lesbian, and transgender community center down there. Well, I had been, you know, something was on me, on my heart, to go try to minister to those people for about a year. I talked to James about it a few times. I mentioned my son-in-law, and he made jokes about it, and they, you know, said I would get raped in there or I would get mugged. Some of the people in my own church feared for my life. They didn't think that would be a good idea. But I was listening to him to a sermon one Wednesday night, and our pastor said that 95% of Christians never bring anybody to Christ. He said, and they never bring anybody to church. And see, and I've been trying to bring people to church for years to my church, and it's not a perfect church by a long shot. Matter of fact, I struggle to go there sometimes myself. I could talk about that for a week. A new development came up recently. I hadn't told James about there. But it was on my heart. I said, I need to go testify to these people. So I went down there and knocked on the door. I don't know how much of this story you talked about before, but knocked on the door of the gay and lesbian transvestite, transsexual center, whatever it is. And a guy came to the door, and you would have never guessed he was a homosexual. Never. He was a college professor here at, I think, University of Memphis, or, you know, maybe Rhodes, where they had the rodents out there. But he came to the door and asked me what he could do for me. He said, well, you can't do anything for me. I don't think so. But I would like to testify to you about my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and how you need to come out of this harmful lifestyle you're in. I said, I would like to. Could you give me some time? Well, he very graciously did. He said, I'll give you 5 minutes. Well, I was in there probably about an hour, and other people were coming in his office. This is the head honcho of the place. And we were debating back and forth. And I finally told him that if you just throw Christianity out the window, if you throw spirituality out the window, if you just go through pure, raw medical science, a man, I don't know about women, probably it's pretty close to the same, but with a man who's in a homosexual lifestyle, they reduce their lifespan for about 15 years. It's through the disease. It's just off the charts that they get. And you can imagine what kind of disease. They have AIDS. They have their own special type of gonorrhea. They have their own special type of pneumonia. I think it's called pneumocystic pneumonia, that they only get it when their T cells are compromised through all these horrendous sexual practices they have. And it's not through just IV drug use. And the guy, he begrudgingly admitted that. And then he thought he'd come back on me, James. He said, I'll try to make this. Trim this story down a little bit. It's getting kind of long. But he said, well, you know, in the gay teens community, he said, you know, our suicide rate is 8 times that of the heterosexual community. I said, you just made my point, guy. You just made my point. I said, and he said, well, do you know why that is? I said, well, you tell me why you think it is, and I'll tell you why it really is. He says, because all the hate in the Christian communities, they're told that they're an abomination, they're worthless, they're evil. All these, and I said, well, hold a minute. Now, who are these people that are telling you that? I said, I go to, nowadays, even though it's watered down, it's pretty much a fundamentalist. It's a fundamentalist Baptist church. I've never heard anybody say anything that bad about a homosexual or a sodomite. You know, I've never heard anybody say, let's go out and bash homosexuals. I want to kill them. They don't like that lifestyle because, you know, it is anti-biblical, it's anti-God. But, and I challenged him and said, who's telling you all these things? Well, he couldn't. He said, well, you know. I said, no, I don't know. I just told you, I don't know anybody that does. Well, what it boils down to, I told him, the reason these people are committing suicide, I'm not an expert, but probably their conscience is really bothering them, really bad. And it's such an abnormal type lifestyle. It leads to all kinds of conflicts, psychological conflicts, spiritual, medical conflicts. It would cause anybody to commit suicide. I mean, they just don't fit in. And I told the guy that he has for these runaway teen homosexuals, he has a food a pantry, and he also has a pantry for clothes. I said, I'll tell you what I'll do, Hoss. I will bring you clothes, and I think I can get my church to come up with some food to come with these runaway homosexual teens that you're supposed to be sheltering, you're supposed to be ministering to. I have one stipulation, one condition. You'll have to give me access to these people. I want to be able to speak to these people. I want to tell them how I got my salvation February 8th, 2009. I want to tell them how I was miraculously saved by my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I really was. I could talk about that for an hour or two. But he wouldn't agree to that. He said they wouldn't go for that. And I said, well, why don't we let them decide? Well, I've sent him emails and I've called him two or three times. As you know, I've been really, really busy this marathon. It's really crunch time. I mean, I've run totally down. But after this marathon, I'm going to hit it again. I'm going to go down there and knock on the door because he won't answer my phone calls and he won't come to the door. But I am hell bound to go testify to these people if I have to catch them one at a time coming in and out of there. And I know if God saved me, he can save anybody. And, you know, I've committed sins, people, that I pray to God are never found out. You know, I'll pass over. I'll just tell you, we've all sinned. I mean, a sin is sin. Now, some of them are bad. Some of them are probably worse, I guess. But it looks like we're getting ready to go to a break, and we'll come back. I got something else to talk about when we come back. I hope it didn't bore you people too bad with that. And I hope you don't judge me, think I'm getting too liberal and stuff for trying to, minister to the homosexuals in society. We're getting ready to go to commercial, folks.
And we'll be back with more right after this.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. You're home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Political Cesspool Radio Program. Eddie the Bombiter Miller sharing a story that I'd ask him to prepare for you. And you know, I don't think it's a watering down at all. You said hopefully no one will think you're going soft about reaching out to the, you know, not to the sodomites in order to as if you're working with them in a political way to further their cause, but rather to neutralize them. And you know, this is what we need, people with strong convictions. In hearing you retell that story, and I knew most of it, I mean, it's really akin to what we do on the radio. We address the hard issues, but, you know, we tell the truth in love, but we do it without compromise. And you went and you told that person exactly what he was and what was wrong, but not in a hateful way. And, you know, we've got to get in the street and begin. I mean, I wouldn't say that was a confrontation. You came to him in a very, you know, friendly manner, but at the same time, you didn't bend an inch and you didn't sacrifice. And, you know, this is what the Christian church needs to be doing. I mean, obviously, that has become a big issue. It's not the biggest issue that our people face, obviously, but it's, you know, I certainly don't believe that people that suffer from a mental illness deserve to be a protected minority. And that's what homosexuals are. They suffer from a mental illness, or they just choose to be homosexuals for whatever reason, because it's edgy or trendy or fashionable now. They shouldn't get special benefits and privileges, and they certainly shouldn't be put on equal footing as if that abomination, and that is what it is, that mockery of a legitimate marriage should be on an even keel with God-ordained marriage. And so for so many reasons, we oppose that. But at the same time, I don't want to go out and stomp them or anything like that. You know, I want to keep, you know, those nefarious elements away from my family. But if I were to talk to one, I would presume that I would speak to him exactly the way you did. That's the way to do it. We have got to get out of our little cliques and social clubs and go out into the street where the action is. You know, and certainly the political cesspool does that on any given issue that we talk about, whether it's defending Confederate parks or advancing pro-white thought in the public realm on mainstream media venues such as we do and on this radio program. Whatever the issue, we do it. Now, this was just the first example I can recall of one of our, you know, staff members going out and going really into the lion's den, as far as it goes. I mean, can you imagine in this day of cowardly Christianity, someone going and knocking on the door of a homosexual, what was it, a community center, and dressing them down in a certain way? I mean, that takes courage, folks. At least more courage than so many of our people are willing to muster. I mean, Eddie wasn't charging, you know, the front lines at Shiloh or anything, but it was, you know, it's still more than so many of our people do. And so I'm proud of Eddie for doing that. And I think he won it. The other person refused to take you up on your offer and refused your benevolence and refused to give you the opportunity to speak to these people. And that really goes to show who the intolerant ones are. And I think anytime we have an opportunity to show an example of who the real bigots are, it's certainly, in my opinion, never us. Those who operate from an irrational fear or hatred or dislike are our detractors. They're our detractors.
You know, James, another thing I brought up to the fella, am I allowed to say his name on the radio? I don't know. I guess I won't say his name. Anyway, he complimented me when I left. And I was like, say, he was going to give me 5 minutes. I was there over an hour, and there was other people drifting in and out. I'm really curious about our debate while we're going on there. But I did tell him flat out all the medical reasons to why he should come out of that lifestyle. And, you know, I don't know if you people know it or not, but I've worked in a trauma center here at the Elvis Presley Memorial Trauma Center at the Med. And homosexuals are also a very violent group of people. They kill each other at a very high rate of homicide amongst homosexual lovers. I don't know why they do that. I could tell you some horror stories about what I've seen down there. But I also told him that I'm a hardcore Christian. It's my Christian belief. I know for sure God wanted me to go down there. People can laugh if you want to. Go ahead. But I know I went down there. I was doing what God told me to do. Now, that doesn't guarantee my successful mission because, you know, the duty was mine. The results belong to God. At least I went down there to spread the word. And I told him that, and it can get complicated, as complicated as you want to make it, but if you remain in that lifestyle, you're going to go to hell when you die. You're going to spend either all eternity, when you die, you really, really never die. You spend all eternity in hell or all eternity in heaven. There's no in between. And I told him that's the Christian belief. It's backed up by any Bible you want. The King James, the Tyndale. The Geneva, they're all back me up there. And then I told him that, like James said, that I wondered about his motive since was vehement in his belief. He was certainly not going to let me talk to these people. He won't. But he's underestimated me. I will get to those people one way or the other. And James, in closing about this story to wrap it up, I told him. Now, what people do hate about the homosexual movement now is because the homosexual movement has become very violent, very aggressive, in your face. They come out and they say, and I'm telling this guy all this, this is what's making people mad at you. If there ever is a pogrom against sodomites in this town or in this United States here, I said, I'm telling you, buddy, you better not screw with people's kids. When you start saying you're going to get to the kids, and the homosexual community are saying that, we know the old folks are beyond help. Me and James, you know, we're Christians. We're beyond. We're unenlightened. So we're going to go through your kids. I said, if I was you, I would not be screwing with people's kids because that's a good way to get across the River Jordan a few years too soon. Or the River Rubicon. Hey, now switching gears here. switching gears. The chief. I saw something on the Facebook. We kind of paddled around on Facebook a little bit. He was talking about how Obama is just defecating on the Constitution. And, of course, we all know that Daddy Bush and Son Boy Bush and Clinton all before them did the same thing. But... And I told him I would try to bring up something on the Constitution this very night. And I was listening to Chris Ann Hall one day last week. I'm really a big time admirer of Chris Ann Hall. She's one of the, I like to call her Chrissy. I feel like she's a friend of mine. But she was talking about what a farce it was. The so-called government shutdown when 17% of the government was supposedly shut down. By the way, all those furloughed government workers, I don't know if you know it or not, James, but they're getting back pay. So what they got was a paid vacation. And get this, and she was talking about how many hundreds of thousands of what they call non-essential government workers were laid off. Non-essential. And I'd like to repeat her question. And I got it from her, so I'm not going to plagiarize. Why do we need non-essential workers in the government, for God's sakes? And she also, that's true. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, they're all non-essential. But especially nowadays, because I could go and tell you about how the Congress is such a reprobate. Just, you got to make, you know what? I'd rather go back to the gay and homosexual community down here and eat lunch with those people than I would go to the Congress and eat. Because, I really would. But Chris Ann was talking about what a sham this was. The Democrats putting up the Republicans putting up a noble fight, even though it was a losing cause. I was you. Well, get this. And I've told James about this forever because, you know, I'm kind of a money buff. The way to kill the monster is to starve him to death. And the way you kill this monster is you cut the money off. I would like to totally do away with the central bank.
I got to say one thing.
Make it quick.
I'm just kidding. Now, I was telling Eddie was asleep, obviously, earlier in the show. And based upon the impact of his 22-mile run today, and he woke up just in time to get here a couple of minutes late. I was sharing with Eddie, we talked about this very issue, and it's just amazing Eddie did not hear that when we talked about it. I guess it was in the first hour, about how the Republicans lost yet again, as they always do. And Keith was talking about the way you beat the system is to starve it out. Everything you said just then in those opening two sentences was exactly the assessment that we gave. It's just amazing that the way that brothers in arms can think alike. But no, I want to hear you pursue this. We're going to a commercial break right now. When we come back, we're going to let Eddie sink his teeth into the government shutdown and the Obamacare and all of that other stuff. Kind of a rehashing of perhaps what we did earlier to an extent, but from the perspective of the bombardier. We'll be back.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Are you looking to experience the great outdoors in comfort? Are you sick and tired of sleeping bags that are too small, cots that are too narrow, or backpacks that just don't stand up to the wear and tear? Look no further than Teton Sports, a leader in quality, comfortable camping gear. Try our Teton Sports Mammoth 0° sleeping bag. This comfortable family-sized sleeping bag can hold two adults and one child, or four young children. Its interior storage pocket holds wallets, keys, and other valuables. Or check out our Teton Sports Outfitter Extra Large Cot, a camping cot with a steel frame. It's more than 7 feet long and 3 feet wide and supports up to 600 pounds. Then it folds up to a manageable 3.5 feet by 1 foot. Or our Teton Sports Explorer 4000 internal frame backpack. Its dual aluminum stays adjust to the contour of your back and can hold up to 4,000 cubic inches. Padded shoulder straps, padded waist belts, and padded lumbar area for maximum comfort with airflow systems to reduce heat. It's time you start camping comfortably. Look for Teton Sports products online or at a store near you.
Which do you love best, Thanksgiving dinner or leftovers? The meal takes such time and effort, you wish it was easier so you could have it more often. Well, right now it is, right now you can. Imagine your family enjoying the ultimate comfort food easily during stressed out times of a disaster or emergency, or outdoors while camping or hiking. The freeze-dried feast from Freeze Dry Guy is a special case of Thanksgiving dinner, ready for you any day of the year for at least 25 years. Freeze-dried turkey tetrazzini, green beans, dehydrated potatoes and sweet potatoes, yes, even dessert. This delicious feast is ready to eat when you want or need it most, easily in just minutes. Go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD. There's free shipping, plus your family could win a free traditional Thanksgiving dinner. Go now to freezedryguy.com.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody. Hard to believe the fastest 3 hours in talk radio, the fastest 3 hours of the week for me, for sure. The 3 hours each Saturday night when I am here and a part of your company. Eddie the Bombardier Miller, though, coming in loaded for another topic this evening that, unbeknownst to him, we have already covered to an extent. But I'd like to get his take on it because it was, to me, the issue of all that we've covered tonight that I was most passionate about, and that is the complete an unconditional surrender that the Republicans always offer to their supposed liberal counterparts. And of course, we know that the Republicans are set up to fail. They are controlled opposition. Both parties answer to the same master. But this ordeal with the fake government shutdown and the Republicans' surrender on Obamacare, you knew they were going to fall on their sword. That's all they've ever done. What, for 40 or 50 years? Anytime it's been a significant debate over a matter of substance, they're going to roll over eventually. The only opposition they ever give is rhetorical. It's mouthy opposition on television. They talk a big game, but in the end, you know, it's just a matter of time before they fold their hand. And so anyway, Eddie, I know you wanted to talk about that. You've got your citizen's rule book in here with the little drummer boy on it. Tell us what you think about the shutdown of Obamacare and everything that's manifested itself as a result of the last, I don't know, several weeks of political maneuvering in Washington.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm no Chrissy, no Chris Ann Hall. I'm no Jefferson, but I'm just an old bumpkin. But I will do the best I can do at what I've heard. I believe it was Supreme Court Justice Dabney, just to go back to around 1898, talking about conservatives and liberals. And James has heard me say this 1,000 times. There's no such thing as a conservative liberal as we have it defined now. It tells me nothing. The only thing that tells me about a person is whether or not they say they're a constitutionalist, not a paleoconservative constitutionalist like we are at cesspool. I don't care what you are. You can say you're liberal or whatever. As long as you are a constitutional, paleoconservative constitution, you know, and you stay within the bounds of law, I'm good to go with that. And, you know, our Constitution really was divinely inspired and written. It's based on the Holy Bible and Blackstone's commentaries on the laws of England. But Dabney said that, James, he said a conservative never conserves anything. He said they always put up this big fluff, this, you know, fluff their feathers up, you know, bristle up like a dog when he sees a cat. But in the end, he said they always acquiesce. And this was in 1898. And get this, if you go back and look, and they always, the so-called principles that they're fighting against. Let's go all the way back, for instance, to Social Security. Back in the 30s, when all these real hardcore conservatives were arguing against Social Security, and later on in the 60s, you know, Medicaid and Medicare and their LBJ. Well, they've resisted them. They fight to the last man, and then they finally say, "Well, we have to give in because we don't have any principles. This is what the American people wants to do." But, you know, when you have a constitutional republic, you're supposed to do, if you're a representative, you are elected by the people, but you're there to defend principles. You're supposed to have principles and be damned. You don't have to fall on your sword all the time just to get votes. You can fall on your sword and get voted out because you think you're doing what's right. Well, Dabney said, and get this, this is what really hit me. He said, not only did they resist and they finally acquiesce and give up like the Republicans did on Obamacare, and then the very monster that they fought against, within just a few short years, will be in their own platform. Mm-hmm. Find me a Republican that will say one word against Medicare or Medicaid or food stamps or busing or age-dependent children or welfare, foreign welfare to Israel. Show me one that will criticize welfare to Israel other than Ron Paul. Okay, shifting, get one from that right there. So I submit to you, in modern society, we have no conservatives, except maybe here in the cesspool and a few, and our listeners maybe. There's no such thing as a conservative, if by the way they're defined nowadays. Well, Chris Ann Hall, that brilliant lady, she said that we had a majority of representatives in the House of Representatives. We have a Republican majority. Well, get this. I don't know if you people know it or not, but all money, all bills of money. I'm looking at the Constitution right now. This is Article 1, Section 7. All bills for raising revenue shall originate in the House of Representatives. It says, but the Senate may propose or concur with amendments as other bills. You can open that yourself, people. If you get your Constitution, go to Article 1, Section 7. All bills, I'm repeating what Chris Ann, she's a constitutional attorney, she says, and this is true, the House controls the purse strings. All they have to do to kill the monster of Obamacare or NAFTA or GATT, age-dependent children, Medicare, you name it. All they have to do is, guess what, folks? Defund it.
Why didn't they?
They did not defund it, people, because they did not want to defund it. And the reason they didn't want to defund it was because they would be defined as liberals themselves. They're all liberals, as the society would define liberals, because, and James mentioned a minute ago, folks, they are a bunch of whores. They are controlled by the transnational bankers and industrialists. Like President Eisenhower, who I really didn't like. He was a big fan of Uncle Joe Stalin, and he was a big fan of FDR, and he's a socialist himself, but, you know, mild compared to nowadays. But he was the one that coined the term the military-industrial complex. It needs to be expanded from what I see, the military-industrial pharmaceutical ag complex, about, you know, the agricultural apparatus in this country here, pretty much wrapped up by Monsanto now. You have these giant, giant pharmaceutical companies that they have just trillions of dollars, and they have bought and sold our Congress. If you're in the Congress, unless you're somebody of rarity like Ron Paul, I don't know how in the world he kept getting elected. I guess he had some grassroots people there that funded him. And maybe the people in his district actually had morals and principles and actually voted on the issues instead of watching all the hype on TV. But if you're normally, if you're a Marshall Blackburn or Steve Cohen or Omar Alexander, you know, you pick your politician. If you don't kowtow to the bankers and God forbid, if you buck the Israeli lobby, that's the fastest way to get kicked out of office. You have to have that money from the bankers. And see, through a long process that started years ago in our education system, we talked about this. I hope I don't run this in the ground. One of my favorite books I read was years ago, when we used to be out in the bean field, called Foundations, Their Power and Influence. It was about the congressional hearings they had on the power of the giant tax-free foundations here in America. They singled out the Ford Foundation being one of the very worst. See, these foundations, I'll try to condense this, so I don't want to get too long-winded, but these foundations have just unending, bottomless pockets. And they put this money, they've been directed by the White House, by the bosses of the White House, the international bankers and transnational industrialists. We are in a socialist system now. We're more socialized probably than the Soviet Union ever was, but we live in it's a fascist type socialism that is run by, anytime you have the government like we have now, we have a government that's in bed with the bankers and the socialists. The bankers and industrialists. That's, according to Mussolini, would be a fascist type government. That's what we have. Well, these over the period of years since these foundations put millions and billions and billions of dollars, they're doing it right now. You go out to Memphis State, you go to Rhodes, you go to UT, you go to Dalton, Georgia Community College, you go, pick your university, Princeton, Harvard, Yale, Podunk, you know, Calhoun City, Mississippi Community College. These people all, and PCC, Pensacola Christian Community College, Pensacola Christian College, to a certain extent, they all get their textbooks and they all get their education from the general education system that's been put into place back around the turn of the century, funded by these big foundations. And see, the big universities, and I'm talking about Memphis State and Rhodes and, you know, UT or whatever, Harvard, they have to have this money. They get all these millions and millions of dollars from the foundations, and the foundations dictate to them, there's no free lunch at all. If you take money from a tax-free foundation, you're going to have to play ball. And so they dictate. The big foundations don't really care. They don't fool with the math, with the physical sciences like your mathematics, your physics, your chemistry, your medicine so much. They like the political science, the sociology, the anthropology, philosophy, all the history, all these courses that mold people's minds, that teach them how to think socially. It looks like we're going to a break with people. I guess I got too long with it here, James.
Well, that's okay, Eddie, because we'll get you here on time next week, and we will do it. We will continue this. But for now, we're out of time for tonight. For Keith Alexander, Eddie the Bombardier Miller, the rest of our staff and crew, I'm James Edwards. God bless y'all. We'll talk to you next week here on the Political Cesspool.